Now entering Nerdist.com.
All right, let's start the podcast. Please welcome back to the stage, Jonah Ray and Matt Myra. Ray and Matt Myra. Jonah Ray and Matt Myra. Thank you for the waters. What is your name? Elena, thank you very much. This place is haunted? Really?
Ghosts?
Everyone else sees Elena right now, right?
What are you talking about?
What a shitty ghost. Hey, just to let you know, this place is haunted. It's me. Don't worry about it. I'm cool. I'm just going to open up some cabinets. I'll be okay.
On the next, hipster ghost.
I can prove it's haunted. Ready? Dude, what was that?
Yep, that's obviously all you. That's haunted, all the proof you need. That's...
Thanks, Ghost Adventures. You taught me so much. Dude.
It's very exciting to be here in Colorado. I love coming back to Denver and I just don't get to do it that often anymore. Have you guys been here before?
To the Masonic Temple, aka Airport? Yes.
You've been through the Denver tent port?
Sure have.
It's pretty futury.
Pretty horrible selection of food though.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's like fucking Wolfgang Puck Fast, whatever the fuck, and some steak place that sounds like it's going to be good. And then you see it, and it's just...
It was a fast food court steak place.
I would like...
Whoever says it's can we go to the mall to get steak?
First of all, mall steak is great. You guys are probably talking about the steak escape.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what it is, right?
Is that supposed to be a pun? The steak escape is like the great escape?
No, that's referring to the diarrhea you're going to get after.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we gotta get ready for the steak escape! Oh! Steve McQueen!
You heard me then. Steve McQueen. Yeah.
I name my poop as it comes out.
We've done that, yeah.
Here comes Robert Evans!
Chris didn't want me to come out. Did I care? Hell no.
Your poop is...
That's poop Robert Evans?
Poop Robert Evans. Robert Evans would always do that thing where he would just constantly ask himself questions
and then answer it.
Answer it right away.
Did I fuck her? You bet I did. Yeah. Always the steak escape, always next to Sparrow's.
Sparrow's fucking good.
Quality pizza.
They have a stuffed pizza.
Yeah, because
pizza.
You can't
it's
just...
Fucking... What about Uno's? Uno's is...
No, you had Bojo's.
Bojo's had us.
I was like,
I still like a bad heartburn.
I was like,
I can't get enough beer down my fucking stomach. It sucks.
Get me a 2-pound pizza. That's what I said.
Yeah, any place that you have to order pizza by the pound, I knew that was going to be a problem.
The waitress almost just went 2 pounds because you were so eager and pointing at it already.
No, that didn't happen, did it?
Has anyone here taken Bojo's 14-pound pizza challenge? You what?
I've actually made it.
You've made it?
Prepared it?
Yes. You work at Bojo's?
I used to.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you get fired? You drink on the job?
Hey, son, you drinking on the job. Bojo not going to be happy about that. I just assume that he's Cajun for some reason.
Oh, shit, it's Bojo.
Hey, son, you done making my 14-pound pizza there,
oh,
son.
Oh, it's going to come up in a bit, Bojo.
How do we disguise the fact that half of this is crust? Give them honey.
Yeah. Oh, my God, that was so good.
Yeah, such a good idea.
I know. I was down.
You know what pizza is missing is fucking sugar. Like, that's the main... thing.
I've been saying that for years.
That's why pizza doesn't... Because pizza, it's less likely to stop your heart instantly without a sugar element, but it was so good.
I also like that they have the most like fattening, like horrible stuff for you, and then they're like, and we have this gluten-free area too. Oh. It's how they know when to kick you out. I'll take the gluten-free. Get out of Bojo's.
We just put that on the menu to test.
Yo, Bojo.
And then they still offered us dessert.
We only left one piece of that 2-pound pizza. I was pretty proud.
We?
I only left one piece of the 2-pound pizza.
Between the three of us, we ate 4 pounds of pizza.
We did.
You're welcome.
I don't know if that...
Nope.
I think Boulder's done a nice job after all these years of still rain. It's still... It hasn't...
Done a nice job of...
Still raping?
What? It's always been nice.
No. It's not
like Lowell where there's crack.
You really picked up, Boulder. You really picked up.
I think Boulder has a certain aesthetic to it that hasn't been completely ruined yet by every other city that I lived and grew up in that is now just like fucking chains and mini malls.
Chris, can you stop sucking Boulder's dick for just 1 second?
Hang on.
Sometimes Boulder just wants a handy.
I'm not sucking Boulder's dick. These people have already said they hate Boulder, so I'm actually...
Defending Boulder?
Everywhere we go, the people that are there hate it.
Yeah. I think that means that, in general, human beings are unhappy creatures.
Unless you come from Florida and you're somewhere else, then you fucking love it.
Yeah. Nah, Florida's pretty bad. I lived there.
It's pretty bad.
I lived there, too. I lived in... My dad has a place in Central Florida.
I can't wait for us to all go.
We're never going.
All of us.
All of us. Hop in, you guys. Chris rented a RAV4.
I did rent a RAV4.
Yeah, you did.
No, you rented a car. They gave you a RAV4.
Please take this RAV4.
No one wants it.
It says four-wheel drive on it, but I don't feel super safe.
Yeah. I've never, like, the back seat of that really feels not unlike cardboard.
We made Matt sit in the back seat.
Yeah. He's like, shotgun, and I'm like, fine. And then you didn't even call it, and I just got in the back. Like, I know my role. Yeah. It's like, get in the fucking back, Tubby.
Hey, don't put that on us.
No, you guys said that.
We said,
me.
Get in the back, idiot.
They were like, hey. And then Chris was like, fat asshole.
I
and then
never
Jonah
said
kicked
that.
Me in the face, you guys.
This
you
is know, how Matt gets everyone back on his side.
I have to say something. People have commented on the website. They go, Jonah and Chris, you're mean to Matt. I'm like, I am not a part of that at all.
You encourage him.
No, I don't.
That's like the guy who organizes the cockfight saying, I had nothing to do with it. Those fucking roosters just fought each other.
I just built That's a ring right, around right. them. That's yeah. what this podcast is. You guys are the cocks, and I have built a ring around you.
Wait.
What?
It's your ring that our cocks are in?
Yep, that's right. My sweet, tight ring. To the podcast listener, Jonah is cheersing the audience. Yes.
Cheersing.
He's cheersing them.
It is, you do set up the dynamic, though. You do force me into doing it.
And then
it.
I often see your hands come together like this.
What? What are you talking about?
Like a villain.
This podcast is one big ferret legging experiment where I just like drop you guys in a bag and watch you go.
What happens when two narcissists get together and stop being real?
What if we were in a house together?
Oh, God.
Oh, God, no. I'm in a fucking hotel room through tonight.
We're sharing an ancient hotel room.
That he already fucking smelled up with a dump. And here's the worst part.
I just ate 2 pounds of pizza. I can't
no, you didn't. That was before. That's right. You're right. It was after that. But here's the fucking shitty part about it. And then I go to the bathroom down here, and I was like, why is that smell familiar? Oh, no. I recognize this shit smell.
You can't go 2 pounds. You can't do 2 pounds at one time, Jonah. You got to drop that shit.
It's like one of those pencils where you put it out and the other one goes
in. You gotta go half and half on that. You can't, like, our obvious... I couldn't poop the whole thing in our obvious...
It's weird. What's that familiar smell? Oh, I know. Matthew Myra feces. Oh.
It's gonna get so specific. You're gonna be like, Matt had a cinnamon roll and...
Oh,
the worst
way
when I could do it when it's like, it's so thick, I'm... He must have been stressed that day.
Well,
yep.
This seems like an awkward time to bring out our guest, but we're going to anyway.
His 14-year-old daughter is here.
Oh!
I smiled creepily. I meant that as in a, like, we said horrible things.
You hear
oh,
that,
God,
Mary Kate, Ashley Olsen fan? You hear it? Yeah.
Do you know what's weird is that you can't... I'm kind of starting to realize, like, unless someone is clearly over 18, you should just never say anything to them because you sound creepy. When I was getting on the plane to come here this morning, There was a couple behind me, and the wife had a newborn, and they had like...
You said the newborn was hot?
No. Yeah, the newborn was on Hot or Not. Tots. Hot or Not Tots.
Hot or Not Tots.
Tot or Not.
There's probably a deep thread somewhere where that's a thing.
Let's not put it into anyone's brain.
So here's what happened. And then they had like a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old little girl, and she wasn't paying attention because she can only see like, you know, 2 feet off the ground. So she, all of a sudden, I just feel this tiny hand grab my hand, thinking that I was her dad because he and I were about the same height. And I turn around and I'm like, she did this. Like I was so, yeah. I didn't. And she wouldn't let go. And then he was like, no, honey, that's not your daddy. And then I just kind of said to them, not knowing what, trying to break the tension, like, your kids are adorable, but it just sounded so fucking creepy.
Imagine if it happened to me. I would be in jail right now if I was like holding hands with a kid with this mustache.
That's Exhibit A.
Yeah.
What happened to you, Chris, is what could have happened in Home Alone 2. Had he gotten to the guy he thought was his dad, he would ever have ended up in New York.
That's right.
That actually happened. I remember one time I was a kid, and I went up to, I thought it was my dad, and I went up next to him, and I grabbed his arm, and I remember it just being a little more sweaty and cold than my dad's, and then the guy just looks down and goes, like it was a fucking pedophile Venus flytrap, and I'm like, he ain't go nowhere.
I knew this arm would pay off sometime. Yeah.
I made it glisten with my sweat.
Gross, you guys.
Our guest for tonight is a guy that I've been pals with for a little while now, and then we've done some Wootstocks together. You may know him as a Bad Astronomer on Twitter. He is a brilliant writer, skeptic, blogger, scientist. Please welcome to the stage, Mr. Phil Plait. Hello. Welcome. Let's move Jonah's empty.
Hello.
Jonah ordering another beer from the stage. Hey, Phil, how's it going?
Welcome to Boulder.
Thank you.
I assume when you came in, they gave you your complimentary bag of weed and crystals to align your chakras?
No, I did not get any of that.
Really? Well, we'll have to talk to them. That's part of the rule around here, I think.
I did see some scraggly teens on the Pearl Street Mall. Is that are your feral teens an issue here?
They're free range, actually, yeah. I lived in California for 5-6 years, Northern California. Woo! Yeah.
Gold State?
Yeah. Education down the toilet. Excellent. And
this place is haunted.
Oh my God. Made in America.
Ooh, political.
Oh, that's right. I will take us there. Yes, sir.
So Northern California.
Yeah, and you hear all the rumors. Everybody's smoking pot. I saw two kids sitting on a tailgate of a pickup truck smoking a joint, and that was it. For like the first week we're there, and then for like 6 more years, nothing. We get here, and the kids are smoking weed on the courthouse lawn on warm days. And you know, everybody's like, oh, yeah, you see, they're not laughing because it's not funny. It's just weird. Yeah, they're just, you know.
What is it about Boulder that has that vibe? Is it just like, just outside in the mountains and just running smoke outside? People don't really talk that way here, but that's how...
What a good weed addict. Yeah.
If this is a guy who knows nothing about pot, yeah. It's like, I sure can't wait to smoke my marijuana.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm so wasted off of all these weeds.
I love all these marijuana cigarettes. Yeah. Sure are kicking my ass up and down the Pearl Street Mall.
Bong me, bro.
Hey, brother.
Weed jokes never get old here in Boulder until now.
He was being sarcastic, you guys.
It's hard to tell. He's a communications major.
What?
Yeah.
Are you?
There's a chair up here for him, right?
I majored in that.
Yeah. So how long have you been in Boulder?
4 years?
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
And did you come here because you have an unobstructed view of the sky?
Yes.
As an astronomer?
No.
Okay.
No. It's all the weed.
Your daughter's here.
And yes, and by the way, hun, when we meet everybody after backstage, yeah, stay away from Jonah.
Okay. It's just a mustache.
Yeah.
I have a girlfriend.
Whatever helps you get to sleep at night. It's okay.
And when she graduates, we're going to move in and we're going to be very happy.
Is she going to go to high school after that? Or?
Oh, man, if she was that smart.
Yeah. I mean, some would call you a prom date, others a chaperone. I mean, it's just really...
No, I'm going to it as that guy.
Her name's Samantha, right?
That's my hamster's name.
Oh!
Yeah, so what brought you out to Boulder?
We like it here.
Okay.
Yeah.
You That's know, so funny. Like, I think you have to have a reason to go places.
Usually, you know, you go where the work is. And I moved to Washington, D.C. when I got a job there after college. And that's where the work was. And we didn't leave Washington so much as we fled Washington. Mm-hmm. Never mind. And we lived in California for about 5-6 years. And we just sort of watched the economy just very slowly swirling around the drain there.
Yep.
And thought, yeah, I don't think I want my daughter going to high school here. Just right in our area wasn't so good. And we were looking everywhere. We looked in Oregon and Texas. She's looking in Texas. That was that turned out not to be the best idea. But one day my wife said, you know, what about Boulder? And I thought, are you kidding? You know, we can do that? And I had been here a couple of times. This is like, and I didn't even know this when we came here, this is like Astronomy Central here. There are four major places. There's Ball Aerospace, which is where I was doing some work.
Yeah.
Yeah, one, okay, apparently not as major as I'd expected. In a
Ball
house.
Ball Aerospace.
Yeah, they make those jars, right? There's, you know they did, right? Yeah, that's not actually, in fact, a joke, much like earlier. But in a room full of nerds and geeks, there's like one guy, woo, Ball Aerospace, like great, yeah. But that's where they built Hubble. And when I came out here, they were building a camera for Hubble, and I came out here and helped with it, and looked around and said, one day I will live here. And that was like the only thing that ever turned out to be correct in my entire
life. This is where Mork's egg landed.
That's true. Now, you know what? We were driving into town. We went down Pine Street, and I went there, and I saw the house, and I thought, I wonder if you guys, have you seen the Morgan? You drove past that?
No.
Oh, we didn't see the house.
No,
you were asking.
No, we drove into Boulder.
No, have you seen, yes, have you seen Mork and Mindy?
That's not a crazy question.
Are you guys familiar
anybody
with Star Trek?
Anybody in here who hasn't seen Mork and Mindy?
You're in Boulder.
All right, forget it.
Every single person here has driven past that house.
It's like
house.
Going to Boston and saying, you guys know Cheers?
Yeah. I watch every show from Hawaii. Lost, Magna P.I., Hawaii 5-0, not the new one.
Have you seen the new one?
Yes. And I watch it kind of often.
What about the Brady Bunch Hawaii Vacation?
And also the sequels of the Brady Bunch movie where they go to Hawaii.
Yeah,
and the movie North Shore.
And the Elvis goes to Hawaii.
Saved by the Bell when they take the Hawaiian trip.
You are king of the Hawaii.
I'm king of the Hawaii. No, that's Command Man. What? Saved by the Bell with a geopolitical
that
angle.
That was the strangest heckle I've ever heard in my life. Saved by the Bell,
you saved
with,
by
a
the bell with a geopolitical angle.
Oh, you weren't at the Dusty Diamond show 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
Neither were
I don't
any
think any
people.
Kids were allowed to that one. He's done porn, is what I'm saying.
So, Phil, I would imagine that Boulder is very, it just makes your job a lot, I mean, like it seems like you have it's pretty beautiful here at night.
You know, a minute ago, it was all, you know, cocks and vaginas and pederasty, and now it's all, what brought you to Boulder?
How many?
Now he's touching me, for those of you listening to the podcast at home.
To be fair, I'm petting you.
it's true.
How many vaginas are in this guy? Just making about that.
Quite a few, in fact.
Ghost vaginas in the sky.
What was that?
What?
That song. It was beautiful.
Ghost Riders in the Sky.
All right.
Johnny Cash did a version of it. Ghost Riders in the Sky.
But your version was kind of...
Vaginas on vaginas the store.
Oh, I like this one, too.
Into this womb we're born. And then we shit out corn. I would have been so good on Whose Line Is It Anyway? Yeah. I shit out corn. Good one. You're one of the, can I honestly confess something to you? You're one of the first people on Twitter that I was like, God damn it, I want that guy to follow me on Twitter. Because
really?
you've been on Twitter for quite a while. And you a bunch...
Yeah, before it was cool.
I know.
Yeah.
And you...
it's not cool now.
Yeah, I know.
All my favorite people followed you. And I was like... who is this bad astronomer? And then, you know, I saw your work online, and I don't remember how we ended up meeting.
That's crazy talk.
Yeah, so...
Because I was...
You were a notch in my Twitter belt.
Oh, God, that's... Oh, I was wondering what that was. I woke up one day, and there were... no, I... I was actually in the Denver airport. Hey, Denver airport! Yeah, nothing? Really? Okay. And actually, in fact, Que Bueno. You should go there. That's the one of the best burritos actually in town. It's at the airport.
In town. We're from Los Angeles. We don't need to get a good burrito in Denver.
We'll just go. Yeah, but you know what? When you get a good burrito in Denver, you don't have to get a colonic afterwards. And
boom!
It's L.A. Yeah.
We enjoy our burritos everywhere.
Boom! Nice volley.
So I was in the Denver airport, and I'm on Twitter, I'm reading it, I'm bored or whatever, and somebody, it might have been Adam Savage, was tweeting and saying, you had on the podcast, you had Adam and Craig Ferguson.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I love Adam and Craig Ferguson. I will listen to this podcast, this Nerdist thing. And I hadn't actually listened to it yet, because I'm like 1,700 podcasts behind right now.
Sure.
So I downloaded it, listened to it, and, you know, I've got my little headphones in. I'm sitting in the chair, convulsing with laughter. And at Denver Airport, people are staring at me. It's like, should we help that guy? Is he okay?
Is he a Freemason?
Yeah, right. No, I'm a reptilian, actually, from the Denver Airport.
Or a Tarzisium. That's a Stern reference.
Really? No Denver Airport conspiracy theorists here?
Yeah. Okay. What is the Denver Airport conspiracy?
Oh, what isn't the
Denver Airport conspiracy? Do you not really not
the
know
the most
this?
Interesting of all conspiracies, Chris.
It is.
Look out, JFK. There's a new conspiracy in America.
Really?
I don't know. What is the Denver Airport conspiracy?
Reptilians and the Illuminati and the giant demon horse? You see? You know?
Nope.
The beauty of this is that... What is it with thumbs down?
Oh, it scares you. You're frightened by the Denver...
Kill the artist.
Nothing. Yeah, I mean, all of this, it's great, because if you don't know this conspiracy thing, you're like, what the hell is this guy talking about? But it's like, you could just say anything random, and it fits in, but it's all there. You need to look up David Icke, who is, really?
That's David Icke.
Wow. He's always here. Hi. Sitting next to Alex Jones and all the Moon Hoax people. Hey, how's
somebody
it going?
Said my name.
Hey, Moon Hoax people, fuck you.
I wouldn't have phrased it that way vocally. I might actually be thinking that.
They need to know.
First, tell me a little bit about the Denver Airport conspiracy, then we'll talk about the moon hoax.
it's that there are reptilians there. I mean, you seem to be on top of this better than me.
It was designed as a large Illuminati symbol, a lot of Masonic symbols into the construction. Also, if you look at it from space, it's supposed to be a homing beacon for the eventual invasion.
There are reptilians involved. Yeah. That was David Icke's angle.
Well, the reptilians are a species of...
The architect's name was Ivo Shandor. He performed a lot of unnecessary surgeries.
Denver Airport is Spook Central.
Well, he was either a genius or a certified madman. Yeah.
Now we know where
so
Ghostbusters...
So be good!
For goodness sake!
Now we know where Ghostbusters 3 is going to take place.
Somebody's coming!
That's where Ghostbusters 3 is going to take place, at the Denver Airport.
You know, but in fact, right... You know, so in Ghostbusters, when they turn into the dogs with the red eyes, I mean, that is... Did you not see the giant blue cult coming out of Denver Airport?
I don't...
Were you in another state of consciousness?
I'm in so many airports, I don't even notice them anymore. The weirdest thing that I've ever seen in any airport is in Houston's airport. There's this weird bronze statue of George Bush Sr. And have you seen that statue?
Yeah.
And it's the weirdest... Like, he's coquettish. Like, he's sort of... It's him, like, he's turning, and his jacket is flinging into the air, and he has, like, an armful of books tied together, but it's still old George Bush face, but still, he's sort of like a young schoolboy, and it's the weirdest, I can't imagine that they made that, and he saw that was like, this is what we fucking paid for, like, I can't imagine
Well, no, they originally had a statue to promote going to college and learning and education, and then they're like, oh, we need something for George H.W. Bush. Put his face on it.
The Denver airport has a fucking awesome statue of Jack Swigert.
Yeah, you took a picture of
Kevin Bacon.
They have a good Kevin Bacon statue.
Is that part of the conspiracy? Because I don't think I've seen that.
Oh, I don't know. I should look into that.
Because I would have to think that, you know, because that was the one mission, right, that didn't actually land on the moon. So there must be something going on there.
Holy shit, you guys.
How did this, as
we all know, Apollo 18 got there.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Some shit went down.
Yeah, right. Then there was a robot transformer on the moon.
Fuck that movie.
That makes you mad.
I liked Transformers.
The first one.
It has nothing to do with like Megan Fox or anything like that.
No, I saw the first one.
It was simply
the Griffith Observatory.
It was simply I'm not walking this movie thinking, you know, Carl Sagan I think worked on this script. No, it's gonna be giant robots beating the crap out of each other.
You can't tell what's
going
on.
What I got.
Doesn't matter.
Hello?
I can't figure it out. I feel old and dumb when I watch Transformers.
Oh, you just need a sharp robot.
God, the three of you guys together aren't my age, and I like that movie.
No, I like that movie, too. I saw it twice in a movie theater.
Yeah. Now, the second one was awesome because, really, your movie's not anything if you don't have racist little robots
in it. I skipped
it.
Yeah. I skipped the second one. And then someone says to me, the new Transformers movie, Dark Side of the Moon, or whatever the hell, Dark Side of the Moon,
along Transformers 3, it syncs up perfectly. It's so good.
Sorry I got the name of that shitty movie wrong.
That's where Gilligan's Island is.
Yeah, but that's
someone said.
Gilligan's Island, they were on a...
Stairway to Heaven.
They were on an oceanic flight, and Flight 815.
Yeah.
Gilligan's Island, the external shot they would have in the beginning of the movie was in Kaneohe Bay in Hawaii.
Boring.
Wow.
Tell us about bowling more.
Thanks.
There's bowling in Hawaii.
Thanks for coming.
Previously on Gilligan's Island.
But here's the thing. When I went to NASA in July to watch the last shuttle go up, the people at NASA were talking about how much cooperation they had with the people of Dark of the Moon, and they were screening it at NASA. And
then they lost
really?
Funding.
Yeah,
because
they screened
NASA,
it at NASA.
NASA did this with Armageddon, and they didn't learn their lesson?
Well, just the fact that they let the movie go, and they have a scene on the moon where fucking Optimus Prime walks by the lunar module still attached to the ascent stage.
Yeah, I heard about that, actually.
They never would have gotten off.
This is
unless that was Apollo 18. Never mind.
Oh God,
the movie just got better.
I want to find out like how and why did the moon hoax gain traction at all?
Because every hoax gains traction.
No, not every hoax gains traction. Some of them just go away with crazy people. So what happened?
Well, I didn't want to have to talk about this, but it's all true.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah.
You're breaking news.
I'm going to punch you in the face.
Just like Buzz Aldrin?
Just like Buzz.
Yeah, have you had Joe Rogan on this podcast?
Not yet.
Yeah, okay.
We keep talking about having Joe on. Why, is he a moon hoax?
He's a huge moon hoax guy.
Oh,
yeah.
Fucking A.
I debated him.
I can't beat him up.
No, you can't.
No, you can't.
He would murder me.
And like everybody, I debated Joe Rogan on, let me drop a couple of names here, on the Penn Jillette radio show.
It's okay, we do it all the time.
Yeah, I know. Not that you would know Penn Jillette. And,
he was just on yesterday.
He was just on the show.
You'll hear that in 8 weeks.
Yeah, right. It was an interesting debate. We went back and forth. It was a lot of fun. You can't debate
something that's not real.
But tell the Republicans
no debate.
That.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's like I'm hampered by having to stick to reality.
This is square.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And it was made by the Lord.
It did.
It's like, reality is like this razor-thin path you're walking on. And then there's everything else in the whole universe. You just make anything up. And it was interesting. And the whole time, I'm glad I wasn't in the room with him because he's really, really scary.
And strong.
Like, yeah.
And he was in news radio.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Tubal cane.
Yeah.
He's not just big and strong. He knows all kinds of crazy martial arts.
Yeah, he actually, fights people.
Yeah.
And
wins.
Yes, yeah. And I'm, a PhD. So, awesome! That'll be great. I'll use my mind powers. That doesn't actually work.
Unless you're in the movie Zapped.
Then it works.
Then it works.
But you have to accidentally make a botany formula.
If I had to get in an octagon with Joe Rogan, and then whatever the outcome was, he would then understand that the moon landing happened, I would do it.
Really?
Wow. I would take a beating for science.
Oh, my God.
Let's set it up.
Lots of people do.
Because I can arrange that right now.
This summer.
It's great.
Myra V. Rogan.
This is a lot like when Butterbean fought someone muscular.
So you have to, do you actually find yourself having
to debate this a lot? So I moved to Boulder.
No. Let's get back to this moon thing.
Do you have to debate this a lot?
No, not anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, it used to be that it started off where it was just a handful of crackpots, and they were on late radio shows and that kind of thing. And then it really hit the mainstream when Fox did that conspiracy show, Did We Land on the Moon? And it was like, yes. And that would have been a really short show. So they actually had 42 minutes of utter crap.
Right.
And it was always this little question at the end. Why were the shadows not parallel? Because they aren't. Why does it look like he's being lit? Because he is. why? And it's like, again, very short segments. But they never give you that extra little bit of information where you actually go, oh, that's why that happened. Because that wouldn't be a TV show.
Sure.
And it got really big and it was everywhere. I wrote up a blog post. It was before blogs. It was a web page. And I got a copy of that show a couple of days early. A friend of mine's a journalist. He called me to talk to me about some asteroid that was going to kill all life on Earth. I don't remember. It wasn't something important.
Bruce Willis going to save us?
I promised I wouldn't talk about that. And at the end of the conversation, he says, listen, have you heard about this show on Fox that's coming out this weekend that's going to be about the moon hoax? And I was like, oh, wow, I actually just literally finished writing a chapter in my first book. I hear you have a book, too. That's adorable that you have one book.
And no PhD.
Yes. Wow. Call me when you have two.
You don't even have a watch on.
Because I'm an astronomer. I have an innate sense of time.
He looks at the shadows being cast on his hairs.
Yes, right.
Phil, I'll call you when I have a second book, and you call me when you have a media podcast. Empire.
Oh, yes, that's the same. Yeah, right. I'm working
on it. Hey,
nice
empire with a small E in quotation marks.
That's right. Yeah, on BBC America. All right.
Say more stuff you guys have done.
Yeah, right. It's getting roasty.
It's like Chris Hardwick in 480p. Yes.
Listen, 480p for me is better. That's less like, your skin looks older.
That's right. Yeah, I'm starting to do stuff on the webcam, and I got this really fancy schmancy webcam. It's all 1080p, and I keep seeing myself on my screen. It's like, oh crap, I should have shaved. It's like, whoa, those days of 360 when acne didn't matter, and
matters.
Long gone.
Yeah. So your friend was asking about the moon hoax.
So he sends me a copy of the tape, and I watch this show, and it's like, I can't believe they're actually. I was looking at it, thinking this is packaged beautifully. It's really well directed. I mean, if you don't know what you're watching, if you're not familiar with, physics or photography or common sense or, a high school degree, it's going to be really easy, right, to buy into this stuff. But it really was slick. And I wrote up a web page and waited for the show to air and then put that up on the air and then just basically forgot about it. Didn't really think about it. And then on Monday, I look in my email. I've got 1,000 emails from people. And I realized CNN had linked to it. And then NASA, these guys at NASA are like, yeah, this is beneath our contempt. We're not going to deal with these assholes. So we're going to link to this guy over here. He wrote up something about it. And it's like, wow, all right, awesome. I will do that. It is beneath your notice, but nothing's beneath my notice. And I'm reading these emails, and it's like, great, everybody was fighting for me, and everything was wonderful, except for you Mr. Astronomer guy, blah, 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 you paid by NASA. It's like, well, no, but, thanks for calling anyway. And then I'm reading one of them, and it was I have to take issue with one thing you wrote. When you were talking about this big rock that we were walking towards on the moon, and it wasn't the lack of air that was causing the problem, it was this and this and this, and I'm reading it like, causing our problem. when I was walking, it was, what? And then I get down to the bottom. Yeah, and it was an Apollo astronaut who was sending me an email.
Which one? Matt'll know.
Of course, as soon as you ask me, it's like poof.
Tell me what mission.
Apollo 16.
Apollo Scott? Creed.
Yeah.
Apollo Ono.
Apollo Creed.
Oh, was it John Young?
Even to get the Apollo.
No, John Young was 17. I can't believe I can't think about this because I can't
Young
remember.
Wasn't 17. That was Gene Cernan.
No, you're right.
That was Gene Cernan.
Gene Cernan is who I was thinking. Young was having 16. A nerd off. It was
Young, who also has flown the most spacecraft of any human being.
Yes, yes.
Matt just did the equivalent of taking his dick out on the
this
table.
This is so yes.
Was it Charlie Duke?
Thank you. It was Charlie Duke.
It was Charlie Duke.
I can't believe. And it's like I was at a I was at a space aficionado meeting a couple of years ago, and I met all of these guys.
You're
and
so
I got
lucky.
To talk to Hey, and I got to talk to Charlie Duke, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I remember writing about that. That was awesome." And everything.
Charlie Duke
like,
is fucking. He's the guy on Calm when we copy you down, Eagle.
Yeah,
that's the
yeah.
fucking guy talking to Neil.
Oh wow,
that guy.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, you know.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, just a little. This is the Nerdist podcast, by the way. So it's like, guy walked on the moon, sent me an email thanking me for writing this.
No one who's ever walked on the moon has sent me anything.
Really? Your life sucks.
That's because they didn't really walk on the moon. This isn't hard.
What did Joe Rogan say when you said, we have pictures now of the landing sites?
Oh, those are faked.
Oh, okay.
It's all Photoshop.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't
in 1969.
Listen, I don't... You know how the internet works. What's going to happen is someone's going to tweet like, Joe Rogan, they were talking shit about you on the Nerdist podcast.
I'm not talking shit about you, Joe Rogan.
Joe is a...
I want to be clear. He can beat the shit out of me.
Well, he's also...
And he's very funny.
I'm not saying this because I'm afraid of how strong and tough he is, but he is genuinely a nice guy. Like,
yes.
Joe is genuinely a sweet
guy. And he's
guy.
Really, really funny.
Yeah.
And we just happened to disagree
have
about
a difference
this. When we were first debating each other, it was actually really funny. I was cracking up and everything. It was the second time we debated each other that he went for my throat, and I was just totally stunned by this.
Oh,
I thought
wow.
it was going to be another, hey, this will be a lark, and then it was like...
Like Rocky versus Hulk Hogan in Rocky 3.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow, two Rocky references in one podcast. That's not
very
like me.
Rare.
It's part of the altitude sickness.
Just wait till we get to Philly.
Side effects
in 2 weeks.
May include quoting Rocky and shortness of breath. When you worked on the Hubble telescope, I want to know
a long time.
First of all, what? Because you guys, it's difficult.
No one double check that lens before you guys said that.
That's
up?
What I want to.
Ha ha! You mean mirror?
I meant mirror. Touche.
Finally, now I can put my dick away. This isn't being recorded, is it?
No.
Keep it out. I like the way the light's reflecting off of your very white penis. Yeah.
The shadows are actually going in two different directions.
It's not bad astronomer. It's bad astronomer.
If my dad was on stage right now and I was a 14-year-old girl and he said that, I would cry. In fact, I might cry.
Which part?
All of it.
All of it. Great.
Sweet. What is when you're working on the Hubble telescope? What do the day to days look like? Or is it just going over numbers and crunching numbers and trying to figure out measurements and how things?
I had initially it was when I was starting with my PhD. I'd just gotten my master's degree, and I was looking around for some project to do. And I was talking to all the different faculty, and none of them had anything. Which after a while tends to make you start thinking, you know, maybe it's not them. maybe I suck at this. I don't really know. And I was actually ready to leave. And then one of the professors said, "Well, you know, I got this project. You might like it. It's looking at exploding stars with Hubble." And I thought, "Oh, that telescope that's launching in 2 weeks. This is like 1990 because I'm really old." And get off my electrons. And and I was like, "Yeah, I can do that, sir." And that's what happened. And I got on the project. And I can't believe this. I'm actually literally pushing my glasses.
He's really just pushed the glasses up.
When
I worked
on
the Hubble telescope,
the Glavin was amazing.
You have a daughter. You had sex at least one time.
Batting 1,000, huh?
Nice. Yeah. Wow.
Take that celebratory Diet Coke sip, Mara. Take that sip.
Wow. Actually, I'm glad he said that because the direction that had taken was not one I really wanted to pursue.
Good.
So,
so you get on the Hubble project.
Yeah. And then they sent back the data, and I remember looking at it thinking, "Oh, this doesn't look right. This looks fuzzy." And then the news comes out. It's like, yeah, they ground the mirror incorrectly and everything's fuzzy. So I had really, really crappy data for like 2 years. And I squeezed every photon out of that stuff.
What do you mean crappy data? What is it that you're looking at? Are you looking at numbers? Are you solving equations? Or are you, what are you looking at?
Solving equations. I would have gotten my PhD a year earlier if I could have solved equations. That would have been awesome. No, we had images. So Hubble has digital detectors on it, just like what you guys have in your cameras. And in fact, all of these digital cameras, the legacy is from Hubble. The little chips that they use for Hubble to make pictures, that technology was then basically used to make all these digital cameras. Mm-hmm. So you literally owe your camera to Hubble. So when people complain, why should we fund NASA? It's like, because you have cameras in your phones, you ass.
You know that picture?
And how many household objects?
Exactly,
how many household objects do you hear in the commercial? Developed as a space age polymer by scientists at NASA. Yeah. The upside down pen.
You mean that picture I took of my dick earlier was possible thanks to NASA?
Yep.
Yeah. Anthony Weiner's career destroyed by Hubble.
And timely. The Tang, the Teflon, the upside down pen, that's all crap. But, you know, the multi-billion dollar digital detector industry, NASA
and
had a lot to do with that. And
so do they own patents on that? That they then...
No.
Really?
Well, it's complicated. I think if you... I don't know. Sure.
I guess my question is why doesn't the government is it wrong for them if they invent technology to be able to get money for things that they've invented or
there are situations that can happen if you're a contractor or if you're an individual working on it they can do that, but I don't know all the rules.
Okay.
And this is fascinating for the audience.
I think they're listening because most people have no idea how it works, how NASA works, how you get Hubble up into the sky, like what happens when you're like, oh fuck, it doesn't work right.
Yeah, what happens is 2 years of your life gets flushed down the goddamn toilet is what happens.
Then they send Atlantis up and they fix it.
Yeah. Discovery.
Well, the second time.
But thanks Atlantis for playing
went.
Again.
Atlantis went up the second time for the upgrades, ass face. I'm sorry, I meant Phil Plath.
Yeah, the camera I helped build went up on one of those shuttles.
Oh, ladies!
Point, plate.
Which one?
STIS. The Space Telescope Imaging Spectrograph. Which shuttle?
Which mission?
What number was it? I'd have to look it up. It was
so
you built a camera that
went into space.
I didn't actually build it. They wouldn't let me in the clean room with it. I was actually pretty pissed off about that. But I helped. It was being built, and I helped calibrate it.
Okay.
Because, light comes in one end, electrons comes out the other, and you got to figure out what's happening in between. It's like a black box. We had to figure that out, and they hired me to do that. So that was a lot of fun. Although, if fun is working in front of a computer 12 hours a day writing software, and that's a stupid thing to say in this crowd, because that's really fun. But it was cool. We didn't have any data because the camera sitting in a clean room on the ground, actually here at Ball Aerospace down like a mile from here. But then I got to go down to Florida, which is a
beautiful place.
And
they got swamps.
Yeah. Oh.
And gators.
And don't let anybody fool you. At 3 a.m. in February, Florida is damn cold. And so we're standing out there. We got to watch the shuttle launch, which was life-changing. It's really loud, it turns. Well, not so much anymore, but when it was alive...
I know.
It was really loud and really amazing. And then, went home, and it's like, oh, look, our camera works. Here's this $90 million project that we were on, and it's working. And we actually... I remember the day... We basically open it up. You turn it on, and you're checking all the electronics and everything, and everything's coming in fine. And then there's the moment. It's called first light. And you are actually opening up the camera to space, and it's taking its first real image of stars. And everybody was crowded around my computer because I was the guy who was calibrating it. It was like, oh, here it comes, and then boom, there it was. And it was like, that was awesome.
That's
it's just little
amazing.
Spots on the thing, but it's like, it works! Oh my God!
So what are they...
It was so cool.
Is Hubble the telescope... I saw something in the news... within the last week or maybe a week and a half where they detected particles in some distant galaxy of some type. And whenever I see something like that,
can you be less specific? I need.
Who sent you that email?
Yeah.
Right. So
that was you. Okay.
No, but how do you detect particles in a distant galaxy?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. You'd have to talk to a real scientist. Call Neil Tyson again.
We were.
Yeah.
I'll call.
Because you had him on first. I'm
we
just saying.
Did. Oh, yeah. Buddy. Oh. Buddy, that's only because he's more famous than you.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Chris Hardwick, ladies and gentlemen.
Actually, Neil's an old friend.
No, it's, so. You know, it's just, Boulder is, the only reason you haven't worn on sooner is just because you live in Boulder and we don't come to Boulder that often. And the only times I see you, I saw
it's
you
like at Woodstock at Comic-Con.
Woodstock at Comic-Con, yeah. It was the last time that I actually saw you in person.
Were you at you weren't at the San Francisco one.
No, I was not at the San Francisco
That was the all-hipster, yeah, that's right. So, that Woodstock. Yeah, we had Furman instead.
Yeah, you had Mike Furman.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, because I,
represent.
Just any sort of response from the audience is good. The silence is unnerving.
It's not silence. They're just listening. This crowd is alert, I promise you.
Yeah, right.
This crowd's alert.
Can you smell it?
See? That's right, yeah.
Look at that. Now they won't fucking shut up. See how alert they are?
Look, don't even with me. You were the one talking to them in the pre-show thing. So you're letting the communications major guy like totally run away with it. So.
No. I lulled him into a false
He's
sense of security.
He's a media darling. Have you been reading Twitter since you came out here? Oh, my God.
Is that what's happening?
Yeah, they've got Communication Major's Red Hat is actually a Twitter feed now.
That's absolutely great.
It's like Angelina Jolie's right leg. Yeah, it's out there tweeting right now.
So
I'm sure you're a perfectly fine young man.
Why do you say you're not a scientist?
No, I am a scientist. I love to say things like this. I'm a classically trained scientist. You know, I have a PhD and everything. But once what happens is the mission is funded for a certain number of years. So our camera had, you know, we're going to give you this much money to fund salaries and all that kind of stuff for 4 years, 5 years after launch, whatever the time period is. And then what happens is that last year, you're starting to get that cagey feeling, like everybody's looking around, and you walk up behind somebody to ask them a question, and they're like, what? They're suddenly, you know, moving the mouse, and it's because they're looking for other jobs.
Oh,
right.
And
it's like, yes, I need money, I need grants, I need...
Anyone else want to send a $1 billion telescope into space?
Exactly,
I'm trained in such matters.
That's right, yeah, no.
China, huh?
Yeah.
Hey.
Will reduce data for food, and so you know everybody's looking for another job and all that kind of thing. And so I actually wound up. It was either work on another camera that they were going to be putting up on Hubble in a couple of more years, or find a totally different line of work. And I thought, you know, I've been doing this now for 10 years. It's you were asking what it's like to work on Hubble. For a long time, it was simply programming. That's what I did. I was a programmer. Then after launch. Suddenly, you know, when you know how the camera works, you're everybody's best friend because the scientist says, I'm going to observe this galaxy and I need to know how to do that. I'm going to get this picture and I need to know how to interpret it. I'm going to be getting spectra. I'm going to be breaking up the light into all these different colors, basically. And I have, you know, when you get that spectrum, I need to be able to interpret it. And so they would come to me or the other people I worked with. I was in a small company. There were five of us. I was actually lowest on the totem pole. But what wound up happening is I worked on a bunch of different projects. And so I worked on brown dwarfs, which are these sort of failed stars. People call them that. That's a little unfair. But they're like these objects between planets and stars.
That's what I get after eating at Steak Escape.
There you go. Yeah. And you're welcome.
Uh-oh, got the brown dwarfs.
Yes. Chris Hardwick, everybody. As long as you don't get the bipolar outflows. Those are...
Oh, no, I got that at Sparrow's.
Yes. Oh, my God, I have relativistic jets coming out of my black hole.
Oh, my God. You're the greatest astronomer in the world that can turn all that stuff into shit jokes.
Oh.
That makes me so happy.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't been doing that all my life. Oh, are you kidding?
I know, but you should be doing it for money. It's
and it
a
kills
skill.
Me. Uranus is the go-to joke for people who don't know that there's like all this other awesome stuff out there.
That you could be turning into poop
it's
jokes.
Like, this stuff is really funny. So I got to work on all this awesome stuff. But after a while, what happened was, God, I hate to admit this. We would get the data. Hubble observes, and then it sends the information back to Earth, and it goes to the Space Telescope Science Institute in Baltimore, and they would send it back to us, where I was working, and we wrote some software that would basically take that data, make printouts, and then they would be waiting for me in the morning. So I would actually come up, get the stack out of the printer, sit down, and thumb through them. And after a while, it's like, you know, stars, stars, oh, pretty galaxy, stars, stars. And then after, you know, then it got to be a point where it's like, stacking, you know, and I'd be collating them on the desk and just, okay, let's see what we got now today. And I realized, oh my God, you know, I'm getting up in the morning, I'm drinking my coffee, I'm driving to work, I'm looking through Hubble pictures, and I'm sick of it.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, yeah, time to find a new job.
Yeah.
You know, I can't believe I'm looking at these pictures of galaxies billions of light years away, and it's like, yeah, here's another one, another one, another one.
Oh, great,
one.
Another galaxy. What a surprise.
Yeah, you know, 100 billion stars. Oh, that star exploded. Oh, you know, this probably wiped out a civilization. Okay.
Oh, my God. That is literally what you're looking at.
I know, yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was like entire systems being destroyed.
Oh, yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Nor.
I mean, we'd get these...
Alderaan.
Oh. Oh. Yeah. Alderaan's for pussies, man.
And you look at another one.
Leia's came
from
there.
Let's talk gamma ray bursts if you want to talk about stuff that's really scary.
Oh,
Death Star is like, pff. I remember watching the Death Star and just going, are you kidding me?
That's I remember
like,
going, that's no
like
moon.
Nothing. Yeah, that's right. You know,
what's a gamma ray burst?
You know, I'm gonna get this out here now. Every time I post a picture of Mimas, which is a moon of Saturn that has a big crater on the side, and I say something about it looking like the Death Star, if you want to leave a comment on my blog or tweet and say, that's no moon, you don't have to anymore, okay? I'm just going to say this. It's okay if you do, but it's optional. You don't have to take that path that has been trod so many times before.
Yeah, Matt. Well, I use different usernames
that's
every
right,
time.
Yeah.
So how long have you been blogging?
You're PhilPlateFan8962?
And 8967.
Oh, wow. You name them just like stars are
so
named.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
So romantic.
It's really.
KV1982E.
That's me. And TittyFucker97.
That's right.
Oh, that's that's a star that's in the Andromeda Galaxy.
Yeah. That's the password I put on Greta's computer when I set it up. And she kept it.
Wow.
Wow.
Don't steal her stuff, guys.
You can't, if you're naming a star, if you discover something.
I don't really want to say anything after
do
that.
Do you have to give it a crazy name like that, or can you be like, yeah, this star's called Titty Fucker, I discovered it, so I don't know what to tell you. But this is Titty Fucker Star.
If you pay $50, you can get your certificate, and in the Library of Congress, they'll put
oh,
your.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my God. That is going to be the best $50 I've
you
ever spent.
You understand what my vacation week just turned into?
Matt's going to, instead of wasting money, on
stars.
eBay.
That's right, yeah.
Wasting money on eBay?
Yeah. You're going to sell all your comic books and do this?
It's
now?
Like, I just. And then yeah, someone's going to win a Nobel Prize and it's going to have something to do with your discovery. And then, like, somewhere in Sweden, they're going to be like, and if you see, we look at the Titty Fucker system here. Yeah. Because you named these Titty Fucker.
So you say that. You know, when I was a grad student and I was working on Hubble, there were a bunch of us grad students, and we were all having these issues. We couldn't get past some problem in our research. I was just not able to figure something out. And this other guy was having a problem. He had too much data and didn't know what to do with it. And we're all sitting at a table one day, and we're talking about it. And one guy says, you know, Phil, if you just take your data and just do this to it, maybe that'll help. And I thought, oh, yeah, right. And it turns out it did, and it got me past that little speed bump. And there was another guy sitting there, and he's like, you know, I've got all this information. I don't know what to do with it. And I said, you know what you should do is just you've got all of this crap here. Just start plotting one thing against another. You know, if you got this and this, just plot them until you see a pattern. And then you say, oh, these two things are related. You've got something. You get some sort of correlation between them. Yeah, he did that and discovered dark energy.
Oh,
and
shit.
Like, and so...
oh, so, shit.
Yeah, so now...
That's pretty crazy.
That would be Nobel laureate Adam Riess.
Oh! Yeah. Did you Phil Plate with the assist?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm the blogger Phil Plate, and he's the Nobel laureate Adam Riess.
You don't get you know, like in Skyrim, you can get a soul gem fragment. Do you get, like, a Nobel fragment?
Yeah. No, I get to tell this story.
That's your fragment.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. That's
you don't get a Nobelette?
That's the fraction of the $1 million in little coin with Alfred Nobel on it.
Oh,
I don't get, yeah.
Hang in there, Phil.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's right. I'll get my Nobel one of these days. Yeah, in Moon Hoax, I believe, would be the Moon Hoax Prize.
You actually, I want to thank you because you brought us presents before.
I didn't bring one for everybody.
What?
No, nothing.
Oh, I mean, I found this rock outside. And thank you for... What? Tell me.
I didn't get this one?
Well, a piece of mine chipped off, so there you go.
Yeah, you were your piece.
You were busy up here entertaining the troops and keeping
tell
them...
me about Tell me about this rock.
That is a piece of the KT boundary, which I obtained totally legally.
Yeah.
The KT boundary ushered in the Cretaceous period.
Smells like mass extinction to me.
Is that right? The Cretaceous period.
That it's the layer of rock that separates out the dinosaurs from us.
Birds.
Birds. Oh, God.
No, it's not the Cretaceous period.
It ended
the Cretaceous period and started the Cenozoic era. Right. Yeah, because K stands for Cretaceous, right? Cretaceous tertiary.
It, because it starts with a C, but C was already being used for something else.
Right. And they're so like,
it's tertiary period. Yeah, the Cretaceous period.
Or it was someone went to public school and they're like, Cretaceous, K R. Cretaceous. And so this is the line right here. Then this may actually contain the last dinosaur in it.
Denver?
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
Denver, the last dinosaur. He's our friend,
and so much more.
Denver.
They don't get that reference. We do.
Somebody out there does. Yeah. You know, this is part of the problem. I was having this conversation with a friend of mine. I am just barely too old to start really getting a lot of the nerd references now.
Any
so it's like,
stuff?
Is that like Land Before Time, I'm guessing?
No, it's a cartoon.
It was just a shitty cartoon on in the mid-90s.
Okay, yeah. I don't know any mid-90s cartoons. I miss Transformers.
You're busy working on the Hubble.
Transformers was 80s.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, sadly, I was
too. This Hubble telescope is really cutting into my G.I. Joe time.
Oh, man. You think you're kidding. yeah.
Although in the mid-90s it would have been, this Hubble telescope is really cutting into my Rugrats time.
Yeah.
Or Doug.
Early. Yeah.
Or Rocco's Modern Life.
That was afterwards. That was a couple years after.
At the time when I was doing my research, I started writing a website. And then when I actually got a real job and I'm working on Hubble, that's when I started doing more of that public outreach stuff and doing more educational stuff. So, I'd be like, when I would get into a bind at work and it's like, I just don't want to look at another damn white dwarf. I would wind up.
Like, oh, so many jokes.
Yeah, that is so racist.
Yeah. I know.
Give me this brown dwarf.
I don't think it's race. Yeah, they prefer to be called, pigmentally disinclined little stars.
I don't see brown or white. I just see midgets.
That's right.
Pigmentally disinclined little stars.
I see all colors. I have a very broad band.
That's genius.
So
you're looking at another white dwarf.
See, and the thing is, I'm such a nerd as I can make jokes that actually nobody can get. That's how exclusionary it is. It's awesome. No other. Yeah, that's, well... Okay, communications major, guys. He's on this. Awesome. It's like when you get to the point where it's like, I can't deal with this anymore. It becomes tedious. It becomes your job like anything else. And when something new comes along and it was, it's awesome. Oh, we're gonna, at one point we looked for antimatter. It's like, really? It's
God.
We looked for antimatter.
That
we're
makes
so
starships
cool.
go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We're looking for antimatter in this beam of matter pouring out of a galaxy. And I actually had the folder. I had labeled it warp drive. And the guy I was working with thought that was awesome.
Yes.
He's like, yes.
So in some sort of a meta scenario, your passion turned into a white dwarf.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that right before a star explodes?
Sure. Well, sure.
What stage is the white dwarf? I thought that was right before.
Good, Chris.
I thought
I'm going to pat him on the head.
That
here.
Was right before the star explodes, I thought, the white dwarf.
White dwarfs can't explode, but normally, like when the sun turns into a white dwarf, it's just going to fade away and die.
Oh.
Yeah, much like most of the jokes I'm
making
here tonight.
Then my analogy holds. Your passion was fading away and dying.
But if it's orbiting another star, it can bring matter on top of it, and that piles up, and then it can explode.
That sounds like magic.
We're just making this stuff up. You think that taxpayer money comes from, like, real stuff?
No.
Yes, we need something exciting. How about something that just sucks all matter down and nothing can escape?
Do you want to know something that sucks all matter and nothing can escape?
Clements?
Yeah. question. It's a comment.
Space comment. It's a space question. Space comment. It's a space comment.
It's a space question. It's a space comment.
You know,
this puttered out fast.
If it's a question and a comment,
no, it didn't. Yeah. It's a 3-hour show.
If it's a question and a comment at the same time, it's actually quantum superposition.
Whoa!
That takes longer to sing.
It's not either a question or a comment until you read it.
Okay, it's a question. It's a comment. It's a question. It's a comment. It's a quantum superposition. It's a question. And a comment.
It's our first question from Erwin Schrodinger.
The cat.
The cat is dead. The cat is dead.
Is the cat dead?
We cannot measure direction and velocity.
Position. let's take six quements. Now, are there any? Is there any live quements?
You're assuming
that we can
someone
take?
Wants to ask.
This guy up here is in the front. What is your name, sir?
Evan.
What is your question?
Well, he kind of answered it already with
next Quemet.
Next, please, thank you.
Okay.
One down.
Damn, that was
easy. We are doing good.
Time travel. I knew you were going to ask that.
But my question was going to be when was Joe Rogan going to be on the podcast? But and beat Matt up, which
this summer in an octagon.
Yes.
With a microphone and me crying.
The night Matt Myra dies.
But I just want to thank Jonah for the drinking advice and you for the sober advice. And
don't.
It's I wouldn't call what Jonah advice, gives out drinking advice. Yeah. I think it's more like a Goofus and Gallant kind of a situation.
I am the physical embodiment of a cautionary tale.
Stick with weed.
That was it.
That was it.
Fuck that shit.
Huge thumbs up from him.
We should probably actually let him talk.
Do you have a
comment?
He already finished it. It was just he wanted to thank both of us for giving him two sides of the drinking coin. What's your name?
Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Wow. This is probably going to be a lame question, but like earlier you were talking about wow, this is crazy.
Don't worry about it. Everyone's eyes are on you, yes. And 200,000 people will be listening to this. Your moment to shine. What's your full name?
Brian Doniger.
Brian Donaghy?
That's close enough.
Brian Donegan?
Donegan.
Yeah.
Did you fuck up your own name? It's very hard to say. Oh my God, there's no pressure. No one's gonna judge you from this later on. Are you kidding on the internet? Who would attack you
on
the worldwide web?
So you were talking about the moon conspiracies earlier? Wow, this is a really lame question when I run it through my head now.
No, but it was adorable that your voice cracked. And then, can I carry your groceries, Mrs. Simpson?
So I was watching This American Life, and there was a, that they were talking about how it was somebody that was trapped in a, not important, but basically what the gist of it was is that, like, in a lot of Middle Eastern countries, they genuinely don't believe that, like, we went to space or anything.
Hold on, this could get real racist real fast, man.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to my seat now.
No, come back here. Come back here. First of all, you deserve a hug. Come here. You deserve a hug. What do you do?
What? Oh, I'm in high school.
You're Take in that hug back, Chris. Take that hug back. Be careful.
You said you're in high school. For a second, I thought he said he was in ice school.
Yeah. He gets stopped by the Ice King.
Chris, I'd like you to have a seat over here, please.
Hey, buddy, you want your Uncle Chris to buy you beer?
Do not accept any bald peanuts from him.
I would call them waxed peanuts. So you're in high school. Which high school?
Which high school?
Cherry Creek.
Go Cougars. Maybe.
Cherry Creek. Does Cherry Creek still have like 4,000 students?
It's like crazy.
That place is like a goddamn shopping mall. I went there. Regis had like 200, you know, people, or just like not a lot of people. And you go to Cherry Creek and it's like, oh my God, it's a city. It's a city. And there's vaginas in this city. And I go to Regis where I have a dress code and it's dudes and priests. Fill in the blank. I feel like we didn't answer your question, but it was goddamn nice to meet you, and thank you so much for coming out here. Brian.
Good job.
Okay. You know what? There are two things I want to say that. He's right. In a lot of countries, they do actually sort of teach that Apollo never happened, that the moon hoax is real, that it was all faked. That does actually happen. But the thing that kills me is, you know, why did we go to the moon? In four words, why did we go to the moon? To beat the Soviets, right?
Right.
And like, and who never argued that we went to the moon? The Soviets!
Right.
You know? So I'm kind of thinking it's probably real.
Those other countries are crazy. I mean, it's not like anyone in this country is trying to...
thinking it's probably real.
And this one's for Matt. This one's for Matt. Boulder High School.
Yes.
Scott Carpenter went there.
Oh, my God.
So there you go. NASA pioneer astronaut Scott Carpenter.
I mean, that would almost be like teaching in a Kansas school system that evolution didn't happen.
If you lived in a place where the world looks flat, that's what you would teach as well.
Hello, DeLorean TARDIS T-shirt. What is your name and Quement?
My name is Nick. And hey, second Nick, what's part up? Is my two-part Quement, which is the common part.
Was the first part just saying your name?
No, actually, the first part is after this. This is the question part. But the second part is...
Nick doesn't know how numbers work.
Yeah. You know,
I have 2 points. 2, this is bullshit. 1, what are you talking about?
The second first part.
And C, what the fuck happened to Pearl Street Mall?
I'm a super space nerd just like Matt, so awesome. I'm an aerospace engineer, so
oh, awesome, you did better space. Than me.
Yes. So that's
I just
awesome.
Read about it.
And then first part, are you guys going to get more awesome science people on your podcast, like Phil Plate and Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Yes. You know, the thing about getting science people on the podcast is, I don't know if you guys have been to L.A., not a lot of scientists there.
Okay, Chris.
There are some. I'm not saying there aren't.
Have you been to Pasadena?
That's true, JPL.
Caltech.
But wait
JPL?
A minute. Can I tell you something? Do you know what's between where I live and JPL? A lot of traffic. A lot of traffic, Phil. I've been to JPL. Jet Propulsion Laboratory is fucking stunning because it's built like into the foothills. And I'm not kidding when I say that you'll see scientists walking around in lab coats going over data, and then a fucking deer will walk by them. Yeah. And they don't acknowledge each other. Yeah. And it's so effortlessly like a part of the environment. It's fascinating. Yeah, we could go to JPL, but it is in Pasadena, which is... That's like an hour from where I live,
it's
Phil.
It's not an hour.
In traffic, it's an hour.
Oh, yeah, with traffic, anything could be longer. You go at the right time, it's 45 minutes.
At 4 o'clock in the morning, yeah, no traffic.
In traffic,
but yeah, we should have
longer?
More scientists on.
I got 4 suggestions for you right here. 1, Bill Nye. 2, Elon.
4 suggestions. 4.
Yes.
3rd. 1. The number E.
You know...
He's an aerospace engineer.
Chris,
Bill
he's
Nye,
designing
Elon
the airplane
Musk,
you're
Ruth
flying
in. And Steve Squires, who is the PI for the Spirit and Opportunity rovers on Mars.
You know, I've actually said that I wanted Elon Musk on before. He's always been sort of a dream guest for me.
Like popping that up a little bit. So you said Elon Musk, and I'm saying you should go for it.
Actually, you were technically just raising the roof. That's what you were doing.
That's right.
With your
hands. That's right.
Because I'm of the opinion that the roof was on fire, if there was some incendiary event happening, and you were suggesting that water might not be necessary to the situation, that we should let it run its course and become a white dwarf.
Yes. Well, he is an engineer.
Well, it's very nice to meet you.
Thanks, Chris. That was awesome.
Oh, thanks, Nick. I'll take high fives, buddy. Yay.
So book Beekman from Beekman's World. Got it.
Okay, so just these 3 more, and then we'll let you guys...
Communications major just got up.
What is...
5-part question.
No, I can tell already we need to take at least 1, 2, 3 more questions here. Well, yeah.
What is your Quement?
My Quement is about the Hubble photographs. When you see them, they have beautiful color in them. But my understanding is that the Hubble photographs are actually black and white that you would see. And I just want to know what your feelings were about the interpretation with the color used in those photographs.
Well, it's because mainly when I...
No, Jonah, she was talking to...
Yeah. Talking to Matt, clearly, yes.
This is embarrassing.
What I do is I close my eyes real tight, and whatever colors I see, that's what I make the galaxies.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a good question, Phil. What
is... It's whatever acid we happen to be on that time. Yeah. People always say, is this what it would look like if you were there? And he's answer, no, because if you were there, you'd be dead. So, no. But honestly, no picture you take is what your eye really sees. As soon as you're using a telescope, as soon as you're using a camera, it's you know, quote-unquote fake. It's not real. But there are sometimes... we try to make it as close as possible. So there are filters on Hubble. Hubble just sees light coming in, but if you use a red filter, then only the red light comes in, and the green filter, only the green light comes in. And you can sort of mimic the way the human eye works, and then take three pictures, red, green, blue, put them together, and it's kind of, sort of, more or less how it would look. And we, you know, we try to be honest about that and call it true color, or the word NASA's using is natural color.
There we go. Shining through.
Good harmony. I've got my narrow band filter.
And that's why I love you. For don't be a friend. Don't be Phil Plait.
Don't be dissing Cindy Lauper, man.
Sorry.
So that's how that works. And it's not always true. I mean, as soon as you get like an X-ray telescope, you can't see X-rays. So we call that false color or whatever. And I don't care, as long as you're honest about it and just say, this isn't really what it looks like, but this helps you see what's going on, then fine.
It's like Hipstamatic for space.
Yeah.
Instagram.
Like anything you see in a magazine is even close to reality.
Oh my God, I know. Yeah, right.
You know, we don't Photoshop. Well, we do Photoshop out the blemishes, so maybe I shouldn't say that.
Gentleman in the Homestar Runner shirt, what is your comment?
My question, actually, is how do you prevent yourself from shitting your pants when you meet such awesome people like Neil deGrasse Tyson?
You don't. You
know,
just
David
don't.
Tennant.
Just like, let it go.
I'm kind of shitting my pants because I'm this close to you.
Why are you nodding your head at him saying he's shitting his pants? I'm behind him, I know.
Also, the two rows next to him just moved.
It's weird for everyone, but...
I you know, it's hard for me, and... you know, it's funny, I get a lot of shit sometimes... like a lot. Well, okay, that was a bad memory. I get razzed a lot for being like, you guys just kiss everyone's ass. And it's like, I'm a fanboy of people, and so when we have amazing people on, I gush at them the same way a fan gushes. Like that's what's happening, because I love people and I love celebrating what they do. It's, you know, in 180 episodes or so, I have learned to sort of like push it down a little bit. But it's always there. It's like I'm like a very well separated emotional salad dressing, if that makes any sense. Like the oil is up here, and that's what runs the interview. But down here, it's just all like, Jesus Christ, I can't fucking believe that I'm in here talking to Willem Dafoe. Like it's all, I feel pants shitty. My friend has a perfect. He has a perfect thing that he says, and this is about like trying not to appear too emotional to people sometimes, especially when you're, you know, when you're doing business or whatever. You don't want to get too caught up in your emotions and say something crazy because you're all like, ah, I'm fired up on adrenaline. So what he says is, cool on the outside, diarrhea on the inside, and that's kind of what it is. I still freak out as much as anyone would freak out about people. It's just I've been so trained. To host things for 18 years, then I'm able to separate it while it's happening. And then afterwards, I go home, I'm like, I can't fuck. I mean, like, we'll finish podcasts sometimes with people and be like, can you fucking believe we're just a fucking. Like, we do exactly what I think anyone would do. So, I don't know. I guess it's just training. Experience.
To an outside observer, fanboying and name dropping looks very similar.
Yeah.
But they're very different because one is really. I get that all the time. Every time I go to Comic-Con or something like that.
Yeah.
And you're just, guy, what am I doing here?
I know. We do the same thing. What's your comment, sir?
So you said that you were putting stuff out online before, you know, blogging was even really a word. I was wondering what your philosophy was for putting not just your ideas but all your work out online and how you dealt with everything that came along with that.
Nudity only if it's integral to the plot. Yeah. Which is kind of funny because if you look hard enough, you actually can find a picture of me where it looks like I'm naked, with a telescope. And this is not a lie, actually. There's a long time ago, I gave up trying to maintain any sort of decorum, and clearly, you just have to figure out what you want to talk about, what you don't. And so there were times I was working on projects I couldn't talk about them. You know, the research is still being done. We don't have conclusions yet. Do I want to write about that or not? And there are other times I'd get data, and it's like, ooh, I can write about this right away. It's funny. You must think about this as well, Chris, that you know, what in my life can I actually use for material? What do I feel like making public?
And no, it's really just me looking at, like, farting and being like, what's funny about that? And then just trying to figure out.
Well, if you're willing to actually talk about your separated salad dressing, and while you're talking about oil, you're doing hover hand over your crotch, I guess pretty much everything's on.
Yeah,
on
I mean you do start to, especially when you go into, you know, like before I was getting ready for the special, I was just like, all my sensors were on high alert. Like, what's funny about anything, please? Like, I was mining every experience possible to try to see if there was, you know, anything in it. And I don't know if there was, but that's what you do. It's not yeah, dissimilar to what you do of just, well, it is actually, because you're a scientist. But I mean, gathering data and figuring out like what's relevant about it and what the touch points are and what filters to run it through.
Right.
Nah, it doesn't work. I'm trying to make stand-up sound better than it is.
I've been listening to your podcast now for a couple of years. I actually guess I never finished that story about listening to the Craig Ferguson thing and laughing hysterically at Denver Airport. And what happened was, I tweeted and said, oh my God, Craig Ferguson and Adam Savage on the Nerdist podcast. This is hysterically funny. And like 5 minutes later, you tweeted back and said, thanks, Phil.
Yep.
And I thought, he said Phil.
Mm-hmm.
He knows who I am.
Yep.
Holy crap, Chris Hardwick knows who I am.
And I was like, holy crap, Phil Play knows who I am. I swear to God.
So, yeah.
Kiss!
Yeah,
kiss!
That's right.
Too late, my friend.
Okay, two more Quemens. What is your...
Hi. Hi, I'm Jen.
Hello. You said that like a robot. I am Jen.
Well, she's wearing a red shirt. She knows she doesn't have much longer hair.
I know. Well, I'm thinking the red dress, like, I'm more likely to not be vaporized, but more like, I don't know, the alien will fall in love with me. I'll have to go live on the planet or something, right? It's like, it's less likely for me.
Or
to
Kirk
vaporized.
Will fuck you off camera.
Oh, my God. It's true.
Yeah.
You should have seen her face when he said that. That was awesome.
That's a little scarier, actually.
No, I'm talking about current William Shatner.
My wife, in the pool.
Oh, God.
Jesus Christ,
really?
Jonah.
Really?
What did you say?
No.
What am I going to have to cut out?
Oh, jeez.
Just a reference to something that happened in the news once.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Ironic, the man who hosted Rescue 911 for so long.
Jeez, really?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No.
You should really have William Shatner on the podcast now.
Well, it's not going to happen now.
Holy crap, Ola, guys.
God damn it.
While you're in there cutting.
Stop talking! Please give me a clean edit point.
There you go.
Jen, you're a robot. It stands for Genetically Enhanced Neolife Form.
I'm not sure if that was too soon or too far.
What are you referring to? I don't know.
I'm sorry, I went back in time for a second. So I gave you this stage combat book that I wrote.
Oh, that was your book! I totally know that book. You're the stage combat teacher.
Yeah. Yes. So I have, because you give us gifts in our ear holes every week, I have a gift.
What is this?
It's not quite as amazing looking right now as the Cape of Dicks, but it will look that cool. This is actually more for you two.
Hey,
it says it's about time.
After what you said, you deserve nothing, sir.
It's a stage fighting grid, Matt versus Jonah. It's if we stage a fight between you. And it says, like,
how much do I win?
Matt, shoulder push. Jonah, react. Matt, react. Jonah, shoulder push. Straight punch, nap, react. React, wrist. Jonah, hair pull.
Yeah.
Matt, react. Table nap. Jonah, head slam to table. Matt, shake it off. Jonah, celebrate / taunt. Matt, uppercut. Jonah, react. Collapse to chair floor. She has Matt kicking the shit out of you.
What the fuck was that last part?
Keep going. I'm sure that fight gets better.
It's like she was there.
And when does Matt take a nap?
Let me explain. There are three fights.
Do it now.
So I do stage combat, and I thought to myself, what could be more fun than listening to you two on the podcast bitch at each other? Well, watching you two beat the crap out of each other, of course.
So you've seen my dreams.
So, yes. I guess I'm psychic somehow. So he has my book. I have given you guys, this is my gift to you. There are three very short, because there are fights that are built for like a very small set.
I can literally have you cockfighting.
Yeah.
We'll
do it, we'll shoot it, we'll put it online.
Let's do it on the YouTube channel.
Yeah, so you can use it for these live podcasts or for your TV show or for YouTube, whatever you want, it's my gift. Please look at the book. Please contact me. Don't just like slam your heads into the table without me.
No, I'm sure I got it.
You said that like it was a turn on. Please don't slam your heads into the table without me. Please don't do it without me.
That's my favorite part.
Send me the video first. But there are three fights. The first one is the
how much does Matt cry and shit in the
I just did.
The first one. See, the first one, Matt.
They're going through it now.
The first
this
one,
is,
Matt wins. The second one, Jonah wins, and you use weapons. You use weapons like coffee mugs and water bottles and like those index cards you use on the TV show.
You got to get it to get it done.
Yeah.
Does any of these end in them making out and fucking each other?
You must have been reading Chris's fantasies.
This third one can make it into that because they choke each other out.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah, they choke each other out. So. Fucking choke it out. Choke it out. Just fucking choke
We're
it out.
We're each other's belts.
Dexter that shit.
It's an actor's choice. It's an actor's choice. So.
Well, it's so nice to finally meet you in person. Thank you so much, Jen. And then
communications.
Oh, here he is.
If people want to buy your book, you're Jen Zuko? Bonzuko.com. All right. Well, and what is your name, communication student?
I'm Casey Killingsworth, and it's nice to finally meet you too, Chris.
You should be in this fight, Killingsworth.
I get that a lot, and
okay.
Whoa.
What? He totally just sassed at me.
Because you sassed him.
Oh, sorry.
You made fun of his heritage.
I'd be honored to be sassed by you, but. I didn't mean to heckle you earlier. I did it out of respect. There was some affection there, because I'm a fan of all you guys, and I listen to the podcast a lot and follow you all on Twitter. So seeing it live is just an incredible experience. And
thanks, Phil, man.
You motherfucker, come here. You delightful
Kill
motherfucker. Ooh, stage combat.
And Phil, I plan to check out more of your work as soon as I can, because I have a whole new respect for you and what you do. But I have a...
From this?
I had no idea we were going to have an astronomer.
Holy crap,
on the show.
Where have you been all my life? All right.
Oh, well, I have time to get plenty more informed on you, but I have a more relevant question than just ass-kissing. Phil, you're...
Oh, no, please, go on.
You're familiar with the Boulder area, correct?
Sure. I live here.
If you,
I really do. You,
the Fisk Planetarium. Have you on campus? Have you been there? Have you checked it out?
Many
Any
times.
Anecdotes that you care to share with us?
It's haunted.
Well, what
Call
place
back.
In Boulder is it?
Yeah,
really.
Fisk Planetarium is a local planetarium here. It's on. Is it on the CU campus officially? I guess it is.
It's right by
and,
my door.
I've given a couple of talks there, and I've done some work with them. Every time somebody wants to do an interview for a TV show, it's like, we need a telescope in the background. I was like, ugh. All right, I'll go stand on a box at Fisk. And, you know, but it's a great place, and they have really cool planetarium shows, and they get a lot of good talks there. I don't have any like backstage, oh, they were totally doing each other or anything like that. I mean, nothing like that.
Joan and I just finished a fake fight.
All right.
Wow, that was real hard.
Yeah. If you sit in the back of the planetarium when the lights go out, total make-out heaven back there. Awesome.
Yeah, I should go to more of the laser light shows just to see that. Yeah.
Do they do laser light shows? Do they do, like, laser Pink Floyd and stuff?
Yeah, they do that. They do it, like, every Friday.
Isn't it dark? They do Dark Side of the Moon, don't
they? I think
they're
doing Dark Side of the Moon in, like, 2 weeks.
The Transformers movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the movie and the album synced up together.
Good callback. Yeah. What was your name again?
Casey Killingsworth.
Casey Killingsworth. Can people follow you on Twitter or whatever?
Yeah, follow me as KCK27.
Why would you not have been at Killingsworth? What the fuck, man? It was right there. That is the coolest name in the world.
Well, did Willy Wonka's enemy take that from you?
Well, it did.
That was Slugworth.
It didn't occur to me at the time, but I just thought 27 because it was a Weird Al reference, and I'll see if I can change it to Killingsworth as soon as I.
No, you don't have to do that. But it's just that Killingsworth is a fucking awesome name. Like I've been stuck with a Hardwick my entire life. I would have Killingsworthed for a name like Killingsworth.
It's too many characters. You can't write anything after that.
That's true.
Well, yeah, like I said, I get a lot from everybody about the name Killingsworth. Awesome name. So
it is.
You should be proud of your name. To you, it's just your name, right? So
yeah,
it doesn't
really. I am proud. Like coming from you, that means
you should tattoo
kiss
it.
Kiss. Kiss on. This is beautiful.
Come here, Killingsworth.
And yeah, like hell, some chick on Facebook said it's like adding a Bond villain to your friends.
Yeah,
like,
Fuckingsworth.
Awesome. Yeah.
I like you, Casey Killingsworth. You're a good egg.
I like you, Chris.
Thank you so much for coming to the show. Do you have a camera phone? I will absolutely take a picture with you. And then for the resties, we're going to line up outside after the show. We brought some new Nerdist t-shirts. You don't have to buy one. We'll sign whatever you want. If you want to buy a shirt, fine. If not, we'll take a picture. I'll sign other people's books. I don't give a shit. I'll sign whatever. I'll sign Phil's book if you brought it. Doesn't matter.
I want to sign your shirt, sir. I beat anorexia. That is a fantastic shirt.
But first, I want to get a picture with Casey. Would you take this picture for us, please? And then the rest is people on the podcast love listening to pictures being taken.
You can edit this out. Watch. Remember when William Shatner's wife died?
Stop it!
It says change the battery pack and it just kind of shut off.
Did you get it back?
I'm not going to say.
Alright, your battery's about to die. Here
you know the digital detector in this camera?
Yeah. You invented the CMOS sensor?
Check nice. Oh, Casey Killingsworth, a pleasure, my friend. Thank you for coming. Good to meet you. Phil, do you have anything you want to promote before we wrap this up?
Well, I have a bunch of failed TV shows, so no. Let's see.
Not as many as I do, my friend.
That's right.
Not as many as I do.
Actually,
I am the NASA of failed TV shows.
Man. I'm well into double digits.
Keep bragging, both of you.
Bad Astronomer on Twitter.
Bad Astronomer on Twitter, yep.
Google+. Yep. Just look me up, my name. Bad Astronomy blog on Discover Magazine. And, Death from the Skies and Bad Astronomy are my two books. Ooh, actually, I don't even know if I can say this, but what the hell, nobody's listening. How the Universe Works, a TV show on Discovery Channel. I'll be on that coming up this summer.
Congratulations, that's awesome.
Thank you. That's a talking head gig where the folks here, we actually went up to Estes Park and filmed at 12,000 feet, which was awesome. My producer almost passed out. That was great. And that'll be on this summer. That'll be a lot of fun.
All right, cool. Phil Plait, thank you so much for being here. Matt, Jonah, Boulder, thank you for hosting a wonderfully fun podcast this evening. I say to you wholeheartedly, enjoy your burrito.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.